Back in the spring, I was at the Common Cup, and I was having a conversation with Shepherd and Amy Grace Smith about prayer. And we were talking about those moments at the beginning of a worship service or prayer meeting where someone inevitably prays something like, God, we just invite you into this place today. So I was telling them, I don't really like that prayer. I was like, I don't really like it because God is already here. Like, we're asking him to do something he's already done. Like, God showed up today. And the question that remains is, are we going to show up? Are we going to be present to him the way that he's present to us? And they're like, okay, yeah, yeah. But let me push back a little bit. They did, which I appreciated. They said, we can also err in the opposite direction, where we can generalize so much about how God is omnipresent, literally present everywhere. So of course he's present here, that we sort of lose the awe and wonder. And that was what really both of us were about, was like, how can we restore the awe and wonder that the God of the universe is here now? And they pushed it a little further. They said, and even so, even though he's everywhere, there's still times in history where he sort of pulls back the veil and reveals his presence in a way that is unique. Whether it's walking with the first man and the first woman in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, or showing up as the three visitors at Abraham's tent at the hottest part of the day, or the bush that is on fire but not consumed that gets Moses' attention in the desert of Sinai, or the still small voice that lures Elijah out of the cave at Mount Horeb. And in each of these situations, God is doing some work. And he's trying to get our attention because he wants us to do it with him. Today is about partnership. In the context of prayer, partnership with the living God. And before we jump in, we're going to pray, but I invite you, since today is also about paying attention, to pray with your eyes open. Father, thank you that you're in this place. Thank you that you're with us here now. We cannot flee from you. There is nowhere that we can go that you are not. So in your presence, we acknowledge you, we're listening, I know you're speaking. We want to encounter you here today in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'm going to do is walk us through some words from Jesus in the Gospel of John, and they kind of logically flow, and I want us to, and it gives us a picture of what it looked like for him to be partnered with the Father. But really, all of this starts on the heels of a story from John chapter 5, where Jesus is at a feast in Jerusalem. He's on the north side of the city, at a pool of Bethesda. It's a five-sided colonnade around this pool. And in these colonnades, there's masses of people. There's people that are suffering from various ailments and diseases and afflictions and different disabilities. And everyone is circled around the water because there's this belief that the water stirs on its own every now and then, and it's an angel stirring it. And that the first person into the water, once the water stirs, can be healed of their affliction. So it's a Sabbath day, and imagine just all these people just lying out on these colonnades around the water, watching it, waiting for it to stir so they can be the first into the water. And into this scene, the healer walks, Jesus, into the midst of all these people. But they're not looking at him, they're looking at the water. And that in and of itself is powerful for me because I wonder how many spaces that I'm in where Jesus walks in the room and my eyes are somewhere else. And I wonder what Jesus in his conversation with the Father looked like in this moment. It doesn't tell us in Scripture, but it's hard to know because he could have, and at other times, healed everyone in a crowd that came to him. He could have stood up on a table and said, "Be healed." And everyone would have been healed. But he walks in on the Sabbath on this particular day, and he looks for one guy that's been paralyzed for 38 years, and he's lying down on a mat. And he walks over to him, and he says, "Do you want to get well?" What a question. Do you want to get well? I love that Jesus wants to know that. There's even in our own healing, there's some necessary moment where we need to be partnered with him in it, where we need to want it. But that's incidental. In the moment, he's asking, do you want to get well? Clearly, the man wants to get well, but this is what he says to Jesus. He says, how can I? When the water stirred, I have no one to carry me to it, and so others rush down before me. He's still got his eyes on the water. That's my healing over there. How can I? I need someone to carry me. He doesn't even say, will you carry me, right? That would have been the next step, but he didn't say that. But apparently this is enough of a yes for Jesus because he looks the man in the eyes and he says, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. And so this man who hasn't done that for 38 years stands up on strengthened legs, picks up his mat, and begins to walk on the Sabbath day. Now, I don't know what kind of stir would have happened in the crowd, but Jesus slips away. The man doesn't catch his name. And the religious leaders see this man walking along with his mat on the Sabbath day, which was working, according to them. And so they confront him about, why are you working on the Sabbath? And he says, well, I was healed. This man that healed me, he told me to carry this mat and walk. And so eventually they kind of follow the breadcrumbs back to Jesus, and the religious leaders confront Jesus. Why are you doing this? Why are you breaking the Sabbath? Why are you healing on the Sabbath? Why are you telling this man to break the Sabbath? And this is what Jesus says in response in John chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. So he told them, my Father is working until now, and I too am working. I love that response to why are you working on the Sabbath? My Father is working until now, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jewish leaders were trying even harder to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, thus making himself equal with God. So you see how the accusation is ramping up. It was just breaking the Sabbath, but now you're claiming to be like God. And they would have known the story of Adam and Eve in the garden when the serpent says, oh, you won't die, just take and eat, because God knows that if you do, you'll be like him, knowing good and evil. So these religious leaders probably see pride in what Jesus is saying, but Jesus is not prideful. He's telling the truth. And he goes on and he shows them what he means. Verse 19, Jesus answered them, I tell you the solemn truth. The Son can do nothing on his own initiative, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does and will show him greater deeds than these so that you will be amazed. So I don't want us to miss what is happening here, and I wanted to walk us through what Jesus is saying and the implications for our life as well. The first thing he says is, my Father is working until now, so I too am working. This is partnership, or at least it could be, right? It could mean, well, God's over there and he's getting some stuff done, so I might as well get some stuff done too. But we get a finer glimpse of what is happening. Not only this, but he says, the Son can only do what he sees his Father doing. That's not a picture of you over there, me over here. The Son can only do what he sees his Father doing is a picture of we're close. We're right there. We're looking at each other. You have that slide over there too? The Son can only do what he sees the Father doing. The image here is, I'm watching, I'm looking. I'm keyed in on what the Father is doing, and I'm going to do it too. This is apprenticeship. I was looking at pictures of apprenticeship. It can take a lot of different forms. Like, here's a picture of a father-son, cobblers. Okay? Look at that. See, he's kind of working. He's like looking. He's like showing him what he's doing. He's like, you do it too. Okay, they're doing it together. And then there's bread makers. We have some bakers. See, the eyes are just kind of locked in on, okay, this is what you're doing. Let me make sure I'm doing it the same way. All right? And then there's these two women that are working on gold jewelry. Okay? See, just the focus, the attention, like we're locked in, right? And the next, these two are working on some machine parts, right? They're kind of, here, show me what to do. Let me look. Let me watch. I'm paying attention. Okay? And then, of course, this one, do or do not do. There is no try. Okay, some of you, for the rest of your lives, you're going to walk out and you're like, what does it look like for me to walk with Jesus? Well, Jesus backpack. You know, and you know what? I'm not sure that's theologically accurate, but it might be a step in the right direction for some of you. And in that picture, he's listening, right? It's not just a watching, but I'm listening for the voice of what I'm supposed to do next. My Father's working until now, so I too am working. The Son can only do what he sees the Father doing. And listen to this next one. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does. Some of us, we feel like God is stingy. He's out there. He never talks to us. He never shows up. Like, why doesn't he let me in on what he's doing? Why doesn't he tell me what to do next? Why isn't he with me? That is not the heart of the Father. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does. Jesus draws this out in Luke chapter 11. Incidentally, he's talking about prayer and what prayer is like with the Father. And he says to this group of people standing out there, many of them fathers, he says, which of you, if your son asks you for a fish, you give him a snake? They kind of chuckle a little bit. Or, you know, if your son asks you for an egg, you give him a scorpion. Here's a scorpion, son. Right? Nobody would do that. And then he says, so if you then, though you are evil, still know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks? You are anyone. Me too. And for anyone who trusts and decides to follow Jesus, man, we just turn to him and ask, come with me, Lord. Will you walk with me? Will you give me your Holy Spirit? Yes, the Father will give to anyone who asks. He will give you this good gift of his presence. My Father is working until now. I too am working. The Son can only do what he sees the Father doing. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does, right, in that apprenticeship. And then listen to this from John chapter 15. Jesus says to his disciples, just as the Father has loved me, so have I also loved you. So if the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does, and in the same way that the Father has loved Jesus, Jesus has also loved us. And that at least means he is going to show us everything he's doing. Paul affirms this. He says, we have been given the mind of Christ. We have been given the mind of Christ. And then in John 14, 12, whoever believes in me, Jesus says to his disciples, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. My Father's working till now, and I too am working. The Son can do only what he sees his Father doing. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does. Just as the Father's loved me, I've also loved you. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. The words of Jesus Christ. This is for us. This weekend, I officiated a wedding in a rural area in southern Michigan, and I drove on Friday to the rehearsal. It started out, it's close to 5 o'clock, lots of traffic, and I just felt anxious, and I just could tell my brow was furrowed. I was like tight, you know, and my first instinct when I felt that way was, I need to put on like a podcast for this long drive. Which is fine, podcast is fine, but for me, that would have been sin in the moment, because for me, it was like, I just want to be a glutton of some distractions and information that can take my mind off whatever I'm feeling right now. And I felt like God was inviting me to just sit with him and be partnered with him and talk. So I do, and I start confessing, God, just confess my anxiety, my self-reliance, confess my pride, about wanting to do a good job in this stuff. I confess my shame, my insecurity in this moment, my self-reliance. I repent, God, I repent of these things. I turn from them and I turn to you. Just take a deep breath when I say that, and I receive your grace. Thank you for the grace of your presence with me right now. Thank you for a car that's functioning right now that I can drive. Thank you for the privilege of getting to officiate this wedding. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, for removing every obstacle of sin that would keep me from you so that you could be with me forever. Thank you for being raised from the dead to give me life. Thank you for sending me your presence in the Holy Spirit so that I'm never, ever alone. Thank you. And I start to feel some of the anxiety shift. Then I'm like, okay, I want to hear from him. I don't just want to talk to him. I want to hear from him. And so, God, is there anything that you want to say to me? Is there anything you want to share with me on this drive? And the first thing that popped into my head was a verse from the Psalms. I couldn't remember where it was at the time. It's, the Lord gives strength to his people. He blesses his people with peace. The Lord gives strength to his people. He blesses his people with peace. So rather than thinking, oh, that's just something I thought in that moment, I thought, this is from you, Lord. I'm just going to sit in this verse. So I said it out loud a couple times. The Lord gives strength to his people. He blesses his people with peace. The Lord gives strength to his people. He blesses his people with peace. And after it was kind of in me, I just stopped saying it out loud, and I just heard it kind of prayerfully internally, and I just was breathing deeply. And whenever an anxiety would come up, I would just hear that verse, the Lord gives strength to his people, he blesses people with peace, he addresses my anxieties, and then my heart starts to turn towards the wedding, the people that I'm going to be meeting with, and God, would you give them strength, would you bless them with peace? I'm praying for them, I'm praying over this weekend. So by the time that I and then, you know, the traffic resolves into like beautiful tall cornrows and, you know, this Michigan farmland, and it's quiet and got the windows down, and it's just great, beautiful day. And so I show up in this kind of rural place. There's not a lot of people there yet, but the first person I see, I'm like, oh, that looks like that's the bride's mom. And so I go and I introduce myself, and because I'm ready now, because I'm at peace, because I'm not thinking about all my stuff, I can care about her. And I just say, because I know that weddings can be hard for moms. In different ways and stressful. And so I just say, how are you? How are you doing? She takes a deep breath and she said, you know what? I don't know where all this strength is coming from. And we start to walk towards the chapel and she's like, I have just so many God moments and I've just been writing them down. I have a list, I've been writing them down. And I was like, well, I have another one for you. I was like, the first thing you say to me when I ask you how you're doing is, I don't know where all this strength is coming from. You're not going to believe this, but this whole way here, I've been praying a verse that God gave to me. The Lord gives strength to his people. He blesses his people with peace. And before I get the words out of my mouth, and what I thought was a really cool moment, she says, Psalm 29:11. She said, my sister-in-law passed away from ALS in January. And that's the verse we prayed over every single day. And at that point, I'm just like, what kind of God, while he's holding the cosmos together with his powerful word, has time both to speak into my anxieties and to communicate to a woman, even if this person you love can't be here on this important day, I'm still here with you. For me, that's what it's like to be partnered with God. I wasn't in on any of that until I was. I was just listening, trying to pay attention. And if we don't feel like we can hear from God, sometimes it's because it's too noisy around us. But sometimes it's because God is speaking all the time to us and we just aren't willing to believe that we can hear it. You hear from God all the time. But we're more likely sometimes to say, oh, I'm hearing from Satan, that's a lie from Satan, than we are to say, I think that's God. Can we flip a switch, church, to believe, just maybe when that name pops into your head, just maybe when that verse stirs you or that song you're listening to stirs your heart, just maybe in that book or that movie that you watched that kind of pricked something in your heart and emotions, just maybe God is trying to get your attention, and if you stop and say, God, what is that? He might lead you into words or actions, partnering with him that will blow your mind. The God we serve wants to be with us. He came for us, he died, he was raised, and he sent his Spirit, and we are never alone again. So church, before you leave here today, and in this quiet moment of prayer, I invite you to pay attention. Father, is there a name you're bringing to mind for any one of us? Could be someone here. If there's a name, is there something that you want from us? Is it you want us to encourage them? Do you want us to apologize or forgive? Do you want us to offer help or service? Or to show compassion or mercy? Maybe that someone is outside of this room. God, I thank you that mission with you is not overwhelming. Mission with you is not about us creating a giant to-do list of all the strategies and things that we want to do to go and make your kingdom expand in the world. That mission is about paying attention when you're right beside us, watching what you're doing because you're showing us, and then trying to do it with you. And I just feel so often, God, like, really, we could do that? Really, we could heal? Really? We could see these things happen, but God, I thank you that for you, even at the five-sided colonnade, it was never about the spectacle of healing everyone at once. It was about the intimacy of walking with you, Father. I pray that you'd make us a people that are hungry for intimacy with you, who are always watching, who are always paying attention, who are always listening, because you are here now, and you are speaking, and we're listening. Amen.